بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت احمد ابن حنبل رحمت اللہ علیہ was invited by his استاد امام شافعی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. And each one recognized the other, his excellence, his virtue. The one is the ustad, the one is the student, but the ustad is also respecting the student. What a beautiful zamana must have been, how good and clean the hearts may have been. It is just deen, pure deen, nothing but pure deen. As Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, the thing that has come and messed up the world is democracy, jamhuriyat. So this mess it up. The hearts are not like before. Mannerisms are not like before. Values are not like the past. So this has messed up all things. So the more we move away from this, the more we come online. But if we get into this, then in a few days we begin to think like this, and then with the thought the behavior changes. See, first we get into it, then the thinking changes, then the behavior changes. First you get into a mall, right? So you see everything and your mind begins to work. I know some 30 years ago there was a hyperamaya, you know. So one friend of mine received one of his guests from India. So at that time that mall culture was just new, 30-40 years ago. It was new. So he took him there. Now the presentation, the lights, the woman, and all these things that were there. So that guest of his saying, Wallah, this is Jannah, this is Hur. He never sees something like this. And when he saw it, he was overwhelmed. So the first impression is you're overwhelmed with the culture, with the way, with the ambience, you are overwhelmed. That's why the fuqaha kiram say that even a thing that is haram, don't even look at it with admiration. It's haram, but don't even look at it with admiration. The Quran Sharif says, لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به. The luxuries, etc., that have been given, then don't even stare at that. Don't look at it. Because the first point is you want to stare, then you desire, then you admire, and then you want to acquire. See how it works. You admire, you desire, then you want to acquire. It must happen. You can't see it doesn't happen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had worked it out. So what a mind Allah Pak must have given Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to work out in the short period of time, but to understand, diagnose a human problem and thereafter find a remedy and exit. So what a mind he must have been given, blessed knowledge, understanding, the profound wisdom that he was blessed with, that he had to diagnose humanity, and after diagnosing him, they have to put him onto the cause, lead him out of this mess. So it's a task, it's a mighty task. And the task is such that it must not be just lasting for a few days, for a few hours, for a few moments. It must last right till the end of time. So there must be such, it must be packed up in such a way that it must be preserved. The preservative that is put into it must be such that it must last right till the end. So can you see that? But in any given circumstance, if the way of Nabi Sallam is applied will find an exit. Any situation, you are jammed up, you are mixed up, you are pushed against the wall, right? But it was the way of Nabi Sallam that you brought about, and there you find an exit. No matter how difficult it may be, no matter how complicated it may seem to be, but you applied that, and immediately Allah Ta'ala removes an exit for you. All that is required is a little bit of determination and apply yourself. Don't become a mouse. Become a man. Are you in a situation of remain the man? You could have shown your strength and your might for wrong reasons, right? For your life. You have shown it for wrong reasons. Now for the sake of Allah, Allah, for the right reason, can't you show your manhood? For wrong reason you showed it. Or for permissible reasons you showed it. For your wealth you could show your manhood. Now for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and when you need to show your manhood, then you showed it. You are brave, you are strong, and you are not relenting, no matter what. But this is deen, this is Allah Ta'ala. And when it's Allah Ta'ala, then I need to be firm. Then I can't bend. Allah Ta'ala likes it so much. Imagine how Allah Ta'ala is pleased. This is reported. The person is in the midst of the battle, right? And he's facing a very, very difficult opposition. Everybody is fleeing away, and he remains right till the end. Allah Ta'ala actually is so pleased, that he sees Allah Ta'ala laughs at that person. So that means, when you say Allah Ta'ala laughs, it means extreme joy. Allah Ta'ala is so happy with the person. So, when we see these types of situations, we don't say, what must do now, fitna ka zamana hai, hum kya kare? Bas Imam Mahdi ki intezar karna padega. It's fitna zaman, what must we do now, but just wait for Imam Mahdi to come and he'll sort out things. What you can do now, do it. And the value of it, if you do it firm, strong, then the value of it just escalates, multiplies. Like 50 sahaba kiram. Imagine, at this time, and you're remaining firm, strong, no matter what the oppositions are, but you're just remaining firm. Right? Because of that firmness, and you're just escalating, you're moving up. After all, if you analyze life, life is for what? The whole exercise of life is for what? The whole exercise of life is just to improve your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. In the words of Muhammad Tariq, that's the whole essence of life. No matter how much you studied, how much you learned, how much you worked, how much you struggled, what difficulty you went through, no matter what odds and oppositions that you had gone through, but at the end, what you want? You want the right relationship with Allah Ta'ala. That's what you want. So, to enjoy that, then Allah is asking, then are you on my side? Then what is the stability, what is the strength that you show that you are with me? You haven't moved away. Right? You didn't sell me away. You weren't a traitor. You didn't betray my love. So Allah wants to see now. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. People feel, no, we can just get through. That's how they feel. And Allah Ta'ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the Jannah is not a small thing, not an insignificant thing, right? It's not your, not Nadabari's Alwa. You know, Nadabari's shop just going to take the Alwa and pull away. So that's not like that. Why? It's a very heavy price. Very la inna sillatallahi haliya. For your business, how much don't you sweat? How much don't you perspire? For a few coppers, what don't you do? How diligent and how committed aren't you for that? In your class, in the madrasa, how diligent are you to see now you get the progress at the end? But now at the end, what is required, what is desired? You want to have that relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So this relationship is not a cheap thing. We think now it's just on the street, by the way, we'll just pick it up. A little girl that you are interested in, and you have to pay the price. And sometimes she can make you dance. You pay the price and then you come. Doesn't it happen? Whereas you know she's a funny thing, right? After a few days she's going, you going and she's going. Right? And all the love is gone, is all by the side, right? Everything is gone. But for that you have to pay so heavily. Now you want to get the ultimate, the love of all love, the greatest of the great of all the great, right? The ultimate of all enjoyment and happiness, you want to get to him. And you don't want to pay a price for that. Is that fair? Ask your reasoning. So what price? Any price, I would say, is too less. Just inflate the price. Go on inflating the price, because any price is too less. Yusuf alayhi salam is being auctioned in Egypt, right? And the people show him, they from the face they can make out that this person has got a bright future. You can see from the face, the intelligence, the beauty, the comprehensive nature of this child that we see. So he sold in his weight for gold, he sold in his weight for musk, in his weight for aberration, harir, silk, yeah. So they could see it. When they saw it, say, this is a man, this is genuine. So they paid for that. The highest bidder paid for it. So now when you're talking of Jannat and you want Jannat, then what price must we pay? I say, whatever price you are paying is too small. You want Allah Ta'ala. I say, whatever price you are paying is too small. It is just His farewell. If you're paying a small price, or take it. Allah Ta'ala says, take it. Never mind, you worked. And Allah Ta'ala says, no, you worked. And for your working and your striving, I'll bless you. It's a little baby steps that you took, and it is His grace that ushered you in. What else can you say? Was there anything else besides His grace that had entered you, graced you, embraced you? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He's worked the whole thing out. You pay attention into these two, three things, and you will get the whole mystery of life, you'll get it right. So he saw the one major problem, major hurdle, is wealth. That was the major problem. You can break up families, you can break up with friends, with partners, with Muslims, with non-Muslims, everybody you can break up because of wealth. You can have sleepless nights, you can get fatigued, get heart attack, pressure, sugar, just because of wealth. What am I going to do tomorrow? So that concern is so overwhelming that you forget everything. Namaz is forgotten. Relationship is forgotten. Your health is forgotten. Everything is forgotten just to acquire that wealth. So Nabi Sam understood that this is the position of man, that wealth, when he sees wealth, is a azamat ummati a dunya, and you're going to attach an importance to dunya. What's going to happen to you? Then you will become an ullu, you'll become a potato. Kafirs, then anybody and everybody will kick you around. With a football, they can kick you however they want. What's the point? The point is you show respect and significance to the dunya. Anything that is raised to dunya, significance, respect. The principal of Darul Uloom Deoband, Rafiuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he just locked the office door and he's about to leave. There's the governor. Now that time, the time of the English, and the governor had come in. Whatever work he came for, so Mullah stood at the entrance, showed him some consideration, whatever he needed to do with him, and he sent him away. Just then, just as the governor left, so a student had walked in. Young student, nothing too exciting about the student. But when the student pulled in, Mua opened the office, just adjusted the seating place and seated him and then spoke to him. So the student is telling Mua, you don't have to take all that difficulty. You open the office, seat me nicely, comfortably, and thereafter attend to my problem. You could have just attended to me just at the entrance. So Mua tells him, you think that I treat you as an ordinary kuffariya? You know, dunya ke kutte hai. It's a dog of the dunya. You are the guest of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I can't treat you like I treated him. You are different, he is different. But you see the respect. So when the respect was shown, then the whole world worked well. But when that respect for deen and the people of deen, then that began to evaporate, then everything is lost. Now, You want that fulfillment. You want things. You want structures. You want things to happen. And you're not seeing a single thing happening. You're not feeling the fulfillment. You see the wealth, but without fulfillment. You see the beauty of the home, but without respect. You see the comfort of the dining room or the lounge, but there's no friendship and love. So you're seeing all the material, but what is expected of the material, do you find fulfillment? Do you find love? Do you find respect? You find that. So that's what the hadith says, Iza azamat ummati ad-dunya. You show respect to this thing here. That becomes the most significant thing in your life. All what is required, you know, what is desired, that actual thing will leave you. So you have to come back online. The deen has to be respected. Allah Ta'ala has to be respected. Qiyamah has to be taken as the most important concern. Qiyamah, standing before Allah Ta'ala. That must be the primary concern. Everything else will fall in place. If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen tomorrow, inshallah. It'll happen. But it's not a primary thing. It's not a major concern. Unfortunately, we have trained our children, our youngsters, we have trained them in these type of institutes from before 6 years of age, pre-primary, right till about 13 years, from pre-primary right till matric. And then after 1-2 years in university, right? Until either the child becomes a dropout or he drops into the university system. One of the three happens, right? He drops out or drops in, right? So, all that time, the prime of his life, the prime of his time, the prime of his energy, prime of his time, prime of his life, all is directed just for circular and commercial security, economic security. He must be able to stand on himself, he must be able to fend for himself. So, at the prime time, that is being drummed into his mind, and then you want to know why is he chasing after dunya. Why is not showing respect? Why is not showing the type of muhabbat? Why is not showing regards? You want to know. But that's what you planted in him. You plant a millet tree and you want mangoes to come out. It's madness, obviously. What you've planted, that's what you're going to reap. So we're talking of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, and he's come to see his ustad Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, that's extended on invitation for you. What a beautiful scenery. And Ustad is inviting, showing respect to his student. All of them, they are striving for something. Not only striving, but then you look at the level of respect, regards, muhabbat. And, you know, it's a different type of a world. It's a different type of a environment. Environment is totally different. One is showing regards for the other. One is showing respect to the other. But it's a different, you know, the whole atmosphere is different, absolutely different. The regards that the student is showing for the ustad, imagine Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, his first child, one and only child, right? And he passed away. But the respect that he's got for Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that is his ustad, he says to his friends, "Bhai, let's sort this out. I can't miss this class. If I ever miss this class, I'll have such regret and remorse. I will never be able to overcome this remorse. It can be substituted. You could look at someone just sorting this out. But this one here, I will never be able to compensate for this. So to make that statement, I will never be able to compensate for this, shows the regards and the respect that he had. Otherwise, he couldn't have behaved like this. You see, a person, he says something, then his behavior either compliments him or betrays him. You can say, "Oh, I love and I respect and all that," right? But thereafter you want to see what's the behavior. The behavior either will compliment him or it will disgrace him, it will betray him. One of the two will happen. Now in Springer Beach, I'm seeing my neighborhood, everybody got a craze for chicken. Within the yards, was I think 40 chicken now, one here, one this side here. There were 5 varieties. Right? So the Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, the whole night he would spend just to look at kitabs, find out solutions, etc. So someone told him, "Imam sahab, you know, you are an ocean of knowledge, and then you spend the entire night for this." So his reply was, The whole world is asleep, relying on Muhammad. That if we got a problem, he is there for us. But if Muhammad also goes to sleep, then where is the world to go? Then he has some roosters and whatever. This thing is tracing. You know, if you look at this chicken stories, we write up. No, it's not only for rainbow chicken. I mean, for over 1,000 years that he's carrying on. So here the chicken. Now that was disturbing his study. Now he's studying this idea that he may cook that side. So he took the knife and zaba, all cut everything, finished. Whole story is over. But you see the dedication, the respect. And one of the things that I got so many chicken, what else I do? Look, I'm attacking you now. What I'm showing you is the dedication they had, the respect they had, the attachment they had. So this, until we don't get that respect, that regards, that muhabbat, then you're striving but without an end. You will not get the fulfillment. If you get something, it's just a temporary, short-lived thing. So Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi eventually comes for the da'wat. In the meanwhile, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi explained to his daughter, you know, such a buzuk is coming. You know what a buzuk is coming? Just imagine this person here, that Rasulullah has come into my dream to forewarn Ahmad. Ahmad, you'll be put through a trial. So just persevere. So imagine the status of this person here. What must be his maqam for Nabi Sam to come into my dream and to say, Ahmad, persevere because you're going through a trial. When Imam Shafi rahmatullah had this dream, he instructed his student Muzani, go and inform Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi about this dream and ask him to persevere. So Imam Ahmad goes, Imam Muzani goes and informs Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi gives him some gift, whatever. Imam Shafi asked his student that was delivering the message, conveying the message, that you see, you conveyed a good message to Ahmad, right, my student. So normally when some good news is received, Nabi Sam is coming in my dream about you, whatever, then a gift is given. It's customary, and it's also a sunnah. You know, someone's got a child, so they talk about wadamri, huh? So, out of happiness, it's a token of happiness to give something at that time. It's not against the sunnah. Out of happiness, to do something, to feed, or to do something at that time, is not against the sunnah. Umar radiallahu anhu had learned Surah Baqarah, and he slaughtered one camel in fed people of Medina Munawwara. Now suddenly everything becomes bidat. Right, to overdo things, that's also not right. You know, in this November, December, January season, is one after other, jalsa, going out of hand. One jalsa just finishes the second one. Second one finishes and the third one. And the people say, oh, what must we do? Parahagach hai, ni jai to haruni lag hai. So our friends, our families, that we don't go, it won't look like. So they're not going to learn something, just to pacify and appease. Alright, sometimes I think, never mind, let them do it, because if they don't do it, they're going to some worse places. If they don't do these things here, they will, someone will go Cape Town, someone will go Bergs, mix up with the kuffar, get their culture and come back. Alright, they didn't do the ultimate thing, but they didn't go to a bad place. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah's daughter is complaining to Imam Shafi, you know, you extol the virtues of your students like this and like this and like this, but I've got 3 valid complaints against him. One is, he ate so much, like a guest would normally not eat so much. He ate so much, you know. We know about Buzurganuddin and Mashayikh, they just nibble little bit and they carry on. Yeah, the man dished out and he dished out and dished out. He wiped the dastarkhan out. That was the first complaint. And the second complaint is, you left him water for wuzu. He didn't even make wuzu. You know, he must get up for tahajjud. He didn't get up for tahajjud, because the water is just intact there. And the third is, he went to perform fajr namaz without making wuzu. So one is, he wiped the whole dastarkhan out. Number two, he didn't get up for tahajjud. And number three, he didn't even make wuzu for fajr namaz. So this is the man that you're talking so much about. Imam Shafi says, Rahmatullahi, jaldi nahi karte, jaldbaz nahi hona chahiye. Don't be in a hurry now. Just hold on. Just go and find out. Today I was explaining to the students hadith, you know. Explain to them, this whole hadith is teaching mu'ashara. Mu'ashara is how to live. Right? So, it's a long hadith where Ibn Abbas says that something was stuck in my mind. I couldn't get the clarity. I couldn't get the proper understanding. And I knew the best person to refer to was Umar radiallahu anhu. But now, Umar radiallahu anhu had an awe of himself, right? So you couldn't just ask him like this. Until one occasion, I had accompanied him to Hajj. Now, on that occasion, I had a chance to talk to him. Right? So, when I came across this point here, so I tell the students, see, what you learn from this. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is known as the Bahrul Ulum, ocean of knowledge. But you see how his mind is working. I need to get this. His mind is occupied in knowledge and acquisition of knowledge. How to acquire, what to get. People that are around, they may not be just now. Then what a remorse I would be left with that I had the opportunity, I did not go and access them. As a result now, I don't have it now. And there's nobody that I can go and find out. So this was the thing that was occupying this youngster's mind, Ibn Abbas Diyarma. He can't be very old by the time, see. So the recent pastor, he's about 14, 15. And count another 2 more years, he's 16, Abu Bakr is gone. Now he's Umar radiallahu anhu, he was about 20 or somewhere around there, right? But his mind is so occupied, I need to get this right, this knowledge here. I need to get this ayat of the Quran Sharif. How do you explain this? How do you understand this? So when he explained this to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar says, don't ever do this. When you have a problem, just refer it straight away. Now he was getting overawed, and he couldn't just find out. So Umar radiallahu anhu just cautioned him that you have a problem, you must find out. And don't delay in this regard. So now, how a student must conduct himself? What must he do? Right? Now you come to the second point, right? Now, Umar radiallahu anhu has heard Nabi Sam has separated his wives. Right? Respected wives have been separated. So now this is something that is, that's what he heard, right? But how that message came to him, his message came to him like this, that he used to have a turn with another Ansari Sahabi, that one day I will attend to my business whilst you be in the presence of Nabi Sam, and the next day you will be in the business and I will be in the presence of Nabi Sam. So now again they are occupied. You see how the mind is working. Taaleem. And now we think to ourselves that we're doing taaleem in the house half an hour. In a kamal kar liya. Now this was Umar radiallahu anhu's whole life. His life is, this is how he worked out his life. That one day I'll be my Nabi Sosam and you'll be in the business. The next day you'll be in the business and I'll be my Nabi Sosam. So we'll go on rotating like this. You see. That's a concern. You go and ask anybody for a job like that, you get a job. But you're living in a dreamland. That's what they'll tell you. Won't they tell you that? Now see the concern and see taaleem. Now the taaleem has to be done like that for your mind to take the right shape. But if it's just done like one of those things like, we did some taaleem in the house, half an hour, 20 minutes, kamal kar diya. So you're not going to get the real virtue or the flavor of it. One is knowledge, but one is the flavor of it. Now these people, they tasted it. They tasted it because they invested in it. See that one day, every alternate day is giving to this. Now, when that mind is made up like this, now what is the behavior? You see, when the mind is made, then it will show a certain type of a behavior. Now what is the behavior now? See, you're showing adab of mu'ashar, how to live, socialize. And Umar radiallahu anhu hears about this, says, alright, don't be in a hurry. He goes straight to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he asked for permission. He didn't get permission. He's sitting in the masjid. People are all concerned what's happened. So he's knocked the door. Permission is not yet granted. Second time, third time. By around the third time, then permission is granted, right? And then he hears from Nabi Sallam directly that there was no divorce issued. Now Umar comes to the entrance of the masjid and he announces that this is a rumor. See that? Aren't these points to learn? Aren't these points to understand? Or is your instructor the Google? Hazrat Google? Hazrat WhatsApp? That's your instructor. That's unfortunately. Learned, no learned. Understanding, no understanding. But must have Google, must have WhatsApp. Without that, the child, that youngster will fall into a depression. How many times you are seeing it? Over and over, child is falling into a depression while he doesn't have that gadget. So that's become the teacher, instructor, that's become your sheikh, your ali, everything. Without this, you fall into a depression. Sometimes I see these children like this, but I feel envious. If we could have had that type of attachment to kitabs, you know, to deen and attachment, and just sit down from Isha, right till the morning, just check the kitab, write notes, make up something. Now that's the attachment they have with these things. So the envy is because I could have done the same thing. They have that attachment, they build up that bond. And the bond is so strong, they don't mind spending that night right till the morning on these things here. One buzurg, he saw one prisoner or something, and he's on the cross, and he's killed, right? So he found out, hey, this person is killed. What happened? He said, no, he stole for the first time, the amputated one hand. Stole for the second time, amputated the second hand. After they got fed up with him and they shot him. So he went and kissed the feet. He said, but what are you doing? This is a thief through and through, and you're going to kiss his feet. He says, I'm going to kiss the feet of steadfastness. Nothing prevented him from his addiction. His addiction has gone so deep in him that nothing prevented him. See that? So, khuda kare ke hume deen ke upar hamari istiqamat ho jaye. That what type of istiqamat and steadfastness he had for his occupation and addiction, we have that type of steadfastness in deen. Sabbit aqdamana. See this, mu'ashara. How to live, how to conduct yourself. So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi is explaining to his daughter, but don't rush to conclusions, right? Find out, don't rush to conclusions. He's a great personality. We do not know what happened exactly. To rush to conclusions, not right. But Umar radiallahu anhu did the same thing. Instead of him rushing to conclusions, he found out. He went direct, not to what's happened, whatever else, went direct and found out, okay, what is the haqiq, what happened here. And then he cleared the whole air. Even this instruction for us. Now, suddenly we just departed from all this, came on to this thing, this type of thing. That is why you find there's no respect, there's no fulfillment, there's no love, there's no understanding. If there's love, then for all these gadgets, for all these stupid things, nonsense. The love is for that, the passion is for that. Yeah. For all these type of nonsensical things, then we have got a passion, we've got a desire, we've got a respect for that. So Imam Shafi is cautioning his daughter by don't rush to conclusions. Anyway, he got talking to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah, that is a student. You know, I just got some things to understand, to find out. But you can't tell him too clearly, obviously. It's a guess now. You can't tell him, you know, you wipe the whole dastarkhan out. You can't tell the person. You ate a little bit more than usual. What happened exactly? So Imam Ahmad says, you know, the amount of barakat I saw on the dastarkhan today, the amount of nur, like I've never seen. So imagine how the student must have been. You could actually see the nur. We could see the stakes. He saw the actual nur descending. So what must be the quality of the food? How pure the food of Imam Shafi must have been? And how great the student must have been that I saw that nur descending. And I thought to myself, hey, I may not get a chance again. Let me put the nur into myself. And that nur will show its worth after that. And really, that thing showed its worth. Then, I went to lie down. The moment I lie down, I just hit the pillow. And straight away, my mind went to one verse of the Quran Sharif. And then as my mind went to the verse, I began to take out one masdar, the second one, the third one, writing down, first one, second one, third one. By the morning to Fajr, I took out 70 masail. All for the benefit of mankind. Now you show me, what is more virtuous? Spending the night in individual ibadat, or for the service of the Muslim, what's better? What is better? One is individual ibadat, and the whole night is gone, but for the service of the Muslims. What is better? What is greater? What is more virtuous? So my whole night was spent like this. And the third thing you say, that I didn't perform the wuzu. Well, I was in the state of wuzu all the time. I was extracting one masla after the other, second one after the third one, and so forth and so on. And therefore, there was no need for me to refresh in my wuzu. Now, I tell you, if you make that the story, it won't work. Because you'll overeat, you'll have gas problems. You can't make up the story. The story is genuine. And if you want to do this, it's just an imitation, it's not reality. Right. So anyway, you're talking of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's identifying the problems. What's the problem? First problem is that acquiring. I saw this, so I want it. He got this type of business, he got. So, in Ruhul Bayan, it says, kana selfu yaktubuna ba'dum ila ba'din. The pious of the past, they used to write, like advising each other. That was the whole life. They see some wrong, and they will correct the person. Lays ibn Sa'd is a great muhaddis. But he saw Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and he's dressed up so well, and every day he's got a new suit. So Lays ibn Sa'd is guiding and instructing Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, it's not the right way. Right? So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi received the letter, and he's answered this, quite a few things that he mentions. But there's two pertinent points that he explains. One is, naf'alu wa nastaghfiru. I do this, but I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. But the reason why Imam Malik rahmatullah was changing his clothes every day, is some person gave so much of clothes to Imam Malik rahmatullah, and he says, you see the cloth that you wore today, you must wear tomorrow. I'll give you another suit tomorrow and the third day. So Imam Malik would feel perhaps that the cloth that I wore today, I will give it to a poor student. Uska kaam ban jayega. So he's receiving for that poor student. Not to adorn himself. Not to beautify himself. Otherwise this, the mizaj was such. The mizaj and the temperament was such. If they were giants of ilm, then they were giants in humility, in akhlaq, character, in suluk as well. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Ramadan, same, similar thing, identical. 360 pairs of clothing each day of the year, you will wear a different suit, right? So the cloth that he wore for today, the next day is given to some poor person, and so forth and so on. So someone comes up to him and tells him, you know what, but you got so fine clothing, such a fine cloth that you're wearing. So Imam Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Ramadan used to say, I'm wearing this cloth just to pacify and appease the person that has given the gift. Otherwise, if you make me wear Haitian cloth, thick, like sackcloth, Haitian cloth, and put a whole box of dung onto my head, right? And you make me walk through a street that is busy and everybody recognizes me. Everybody, like a Juma Masjid. You ask me to walk through there. Alhamdulillah, in my batin there will be no difference. If I'm wearing this fine suit that is 50,000 rands, and I've got that Haitian cloth with a box of all filth on my head, alhamdulillah, my batin will be no different. It will be exactly the same. Now, if you want to know why their works are so meritorious and why they last you to this day, it was that level of ikhlas, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, humility that was packed into them. I was explaining to the Hirs Ustad today, before Zuhar. On Saturdays normally I speak to them for 15 minutes. So I explained to them, see Allah Ta'ala's way of acceptance, how He accepts. You the boss and He's the worker, right? So you assign him some tasks, some assignments. So the work that you gave him, he's so humble, he accepts it, right? There's a cheer on his face. And he wants to show appreciation. Somehow he wants to show appreciation, love, respect, right? There's a cheer on his face. And he's so humble, he's accepting, no, boss, I'll do it, inshallah. I'll try my best, I'll do it well. Right? So there's appreciation on his face, his embodiment of humility, right? Although the task that has been assigned is somewhat not too good, you know, like sweeping the floor, look after. But he's showing so much of respect, so much of regard, so much of love. He's cooperating with you so much, so well he's doing it, right? In fact, in the process, he's doing things that he wasn't even asked to do, but he's doing it very well. Now, won't you have a degree of respect for that person? And won't you want to promote this person? That he's doing it so diligently, so well, there's a smile on the face, he's not frowning, there's no bitterness, our relationship is just improving. So won't you want to improve and promote the person? So, by the same token, when Allah Pak is assigning something, right, and that person is showing so much of love, appreciation, humility, recognition, appreciation, Allah Pak, you know, so much you have done for me, and so small you're asking for me, such a small thing, but Allah Pak, what you've done for me. And I must do this, I'll try my best to do it and accomplish, right? Now, when you have that type of relationship with Allah Ta'ala, won't Allah Ta'ala then promote you? The small things or the big things, but Allah Pak, it's your work. The Shaykh is just the man in between, right? So the Ma'mulat is asked, he asks you to do the Ta'lim in the home. You're doing it diligently, respectfully, lovingly. Not like a burden, hey, this thing came on me again, I must do it again. Namaz on its hand, no. I must do it respectfully. I must do it diligently. I must do it with all love and respect. Now do it in that, with that frame of mind, and see the outcome, see the results. Then rather doing it, you know, I must do it now, grudgingly I'm doing it, because I have to do it, I must do it, pull up your face. He won't want to give you anything more. You're not going to get any promotion. So the promotion comes with love, with passion. You're passionate about the whole thing. And you feel really, I need to do this thing, in fact more. You feel so humble about yourself. Hey, this work here, I'm a sweep, you know. But I need to do something even dirty and more mean than that. But he's been so considerate and so loving, he's asked me to do this much. See the frame of the mind. So this frame of the mind must be a constant feature. It mustn't be just at a selected moment. No, at a constant feature. So that is what the awliya and mashayikh look for. That what is the consistency of the zahir and the batin? Is it consistent? If there is obedience from the outside, then is the batin also complementing it? And is it so pure? And the purity will show. See, if there is purity there, then it will show through the behavior. But if there isn't the purity, then the behavior will give you up. At some point or the other, it will give you up. Alright. He portrayed himself like this, but now I see there's some inconsistency. So what happens? You know, he understands, no, something not working out, something that's not adding. So Risa made out that these are the three problem areas, major problem areas. One is wealth. And what doesn't he do to a person? Makes him mad. Behaves like stupid. Do things that he'll never do. The second thing that Risa made out, وَمَا تَوَاضَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. When a person humbles himself for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will just elevate him, go on elevating. But that is done only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, not for the niyat of elevation. Because the hadith is saying, مَا تَوَاضَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ. You have done it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, not for the promotion and elevation. Allah Ta'ala deserves it, but I need to humble myself. I must feel myself to be absolutely nothing. So, it's that ground that you want the ground to flourish, right? It's hard. So what is the first thing? You want it to flourish. Fruit, veg, corn, grains, and all good things you want. You want the thing to flourish with flowers, etc. So what's the first need? The first need is to soften the ground. When you soften the ground, then you can insert the seeds. But you haven't softened the ground of the heart, you haven't smashed it down, and you want it to flourish, how is it going to happen? Kis tarah se hoga? So, Shaykh ko isi cheez ka intizar hota hai. He wants to pass on, he wants to impart, he wants to give. But for him to plant his seeds of marifat, of wisdom, of the ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, he needs that heart to be, that ground of the heart to be suitable. When the heart of the ground of the heart is suitable, then he can plant those seeds. But the heart is not right. What's going to happen? It's going to be a beast. So heart, the ground of the heart has to be absolutely right. Smashed down, softened down. It needs to be soft. The soil needs, soil conditions need to be right. It needs to be softened down. Now you instill the seed and see what happens. وَمَا تَوَاضَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَّعَهُ اللَّهِ. Man is just entered the house, right? See, now I say, in your behavior, everything will show out. So, man has just entered the house. As he enters the house, the wife is letting him have it. Yeah, you just mess up things. I told you, must get that, what? Ashaya. What? Ashaya. Not Jersey, you must get that Ashaya milk. You went and bought this thing here. It's cheap, like, cheapest thing. I asked you to get that. Why you bought this thing here? Now, it is just a matter for to wait and see what is going to be the Hazrat's response. Hazrat's response at that time. Now, you just pulled in the house. Hard day you had. The workers gave you a hard time, you know. And you enter the house. And that's the first Assalamu Alaikum you got. You get. Yeah, you messed everything up. I told you to get the buns. You went and bought brown bread here. What's wrong with you? You know, the first encounter, that is the primary thing. As-sabru in the sadmatil ula. That actual reward for sabr is, and the first encounter. Afterwards, the sabr to aayi jayega. Afterwards, you will become patient. You will tolerate and you will forbear. And all right, I have to get my fair share from her. So let me just be good. Let me just correct myself. Afterwards, you get the sabr. But the real sabr is at that first encounter, when that heat is raging. At that time, what are you going to do? How do you conduct yourself? Easy one then. So that's what you have to smash. You see this ground, that has to be smashed down. And Hazrat Ramadhan used to say this, I don't know how many times I heard this. Students, ustads, ulama, old, young. But one standard, at that time I should think, you know, we're thinking like a student, I'm a zikr, I must make zikr, Quran Sharif. But Hazrat is one standard advice, gussa pass na aaye. The gussa mustn't come close to you. Not that you don't go close, but don't even come near you. So you must be protected in a protected, controlled environment. That thing mustn't even come close to you. See, Yusuf alayhi salam is an embodiment of chastity and purity. That illicit thing came near him. Allah Ta'ala, linasrifa anhu su'a al-fahsha. Allah Ta'ala removed it. See the ayat. So what Allah Ta'ala is saying, that he was an embodiment, innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin. He was an embodiment of purity. That thing tried to come, and Allah Ta'ala warded it away. He moved it away. So you must be so well guarded that the gusta doesn't even come close to you, not onto your doorstep. If it ever comes, Allah Ta'ala wards it away from you. So that is the type of control that you need. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. Hazrat Ramadan, I only saw him getting upset once. The time he got upset was when some student was playing the truant, wasn't coming to madrasa, about 10 of them. So he got upset that time. But then I look at the kitabs, one of the primary things that causes happiness to shaitan is this. What? That a child is going to madrasa and someone sways him away. So Hazrat got upset. Why did you become a victim of shaitan? Are? And the hardest word you would say, jangli kabutar kahike? That's the hardest word. A wild pigeon. That is the hardest. But that was the only time I heard Hazrat Kamil was upset. Al-Mustafa Rahmatullah, so only one time I saw him getting upset. Right? The time he got upset, I saw, was someone spoke about Taqwiyatul Iman, and Mawla Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah in a derogatory way. So now, it is one of our akabir, and you just taking his name without any respect, without any regards, without you making tahqeeq of what he said really. You didn't search the whole thing, And you just take him like an ordinary person. So that was the time that he got upset. So both of these personalities, I didn't see them getting angry for their own personal selves. It was either a great Akabir that was under attack, or either those children had become victims of Shaitan. That's where they got upset. For their personal selves, then you get upset. They get away. So now, Shaitan is going to play one against the other, wife against the husband. Coming into the home, so she's going to say something. The man says to himself, but you know, I got brains, I'm an intelligent person, I got an ego, they can't just drag my name like this. What do they think of me? I'm working so hard, bringing halal rosy here, I'm sweating for them, I take them for Umrah and Hajj, everything I do for them, and this is the reward I get. So I got a mind of my own, I must tell what I need to say. I got a democratic right. So Shaitan will give you all that intelligence. See, Shaitan is a big ustad, must remember that. Because if you can be ustad, maybe 30 years now, right? 40 years, 50 years, 70 years most. That one day is from how many years? Thousands of years. Before Adam alayhi salam came about, right? So thousands of years of experience he's got. So he knows all the democracy and all the tricks. And trick and the trick over the trick. So how much he can just distract you. The only way, the only protection is by Allah. لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ لَيْسَ إِنَّهُ إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلِيمٌ سُلْطَانٌ إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلِيمٌ سُلْطَانٌ. My servants, in other words, those that have trust in me, you will not have any type of control over them. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلِيمٌ سُلْطَانٌ. My servants, selected, those that trust in me, those that are faithful to me, you will not be able to control them. Yes, those that are following you, they may become your chamchas, they may be falling in your trap. But my selected servants, no. So that was Hazrat's standard advice. Ghusa, pass na hai. Now after that, then you see life, you know. One experiment, another experience, here, there, everywhere. You say, hey, these old people, they said something, they knew what they were talking about. We are very naive then. Now too we are naive, you can't say we are not naive. But really what they told us, gold. You know, the amount of problems, difficulties, complications, fights, etc. is because of this. You lost yourself, and when you lost yourself, you said something, you behaved like an animal, and then you came into your senses, right? You did something, and after the damage is over, now you come to your senses. But our damage is over now. Now you want to reverse that. You can't reverse that thing. Just today there was a questioner. He lost himself. Started throwing things and acting like a beast. He was acting. He hurt someone, throwing something at something, busting that window here. He just lost it. And he lost it and he started behaving like this. See this. And when the damage is done, now you're trying to unreal. You're trying to... So Hazratji is saying, this is the main problem nowadays. The two things he would say. One is Ghusta Pasnaya. The second thing I can remember very well. Hum Umar Logo Ke Pas Na Baithe. People around you, around your age, don't sit around with them. Because most of the trouble takes place there. Now the sitting can be in two ways. Whether you're sitting with them, whether you're connecting with them over the phone, over the groups, etc. You're connecting with this class of people, right? When you're connecting with that type of people, they give you that type of brains. When they give you that type of brains, after a period of time, they want to behave like that. Then when you cause the damage, now you say, hey, but how do I do this? So this is a two standard advice. By Ghusta Pas Na Aaye, that Ghusta mustn't come even close to you. Or Hum Umar Logo Ke Pas Na Baithe. People are on the same age, but don't say. Old people experience control, composure, understanding, experience. You will benefit and they will benefit. But now you sit with people around like you, like yourself. You got 1,000 men. You got it now. Say, let's go to steers and let's go bust the thing. Bust 1,000 men. Tomorrow you need food for the house. You can't, you don't have it. You see that? What happens? Jaldbaz. Hasty. Hurried in your decisions. You're not balanced. You're causing problems for everybody. Right throughout you're causing problems. See? So you make life miserable, then you see the whole world is against me. Wife is against me, someone is against me, someone is against me. Why? You against yourself. You didn't learn to discipline yourself, so you against yourself. No, wife is not against you. Your brother is not against you. Your father is not against you. Who's against you? Your nafs is against you. Because you didn't learn how to control your nafs. So now you, at this point, and you say, now everybody is against me. You fall into a depression. Now, this Buzurganuddin's words, what I found, the simplest thing is just listen to them, humbly, respectfully, with muhabbat, just do it. Just do it. It will take you years to see the good of the advices. You won't see it straight away, perhaps. But after you mature, you see things in perspective. Hey, lucky I just did it. I was just on the verge of slipping. But I listened to them, alhamdulillah, I guarded myself. So shaitan now, he works one against the other. The wife against the husband against the wife. That thing is carrying on. And each one wants to have the last say. You see, my word must be the last, final say. I must have the final say. Nobody wants to relent. Nobody wants to give up. Just now, recently, two professional people, right? Professional, really professional, like, you know. And the husband just pulls into the house, so he asks for a cup of coffee. And she says, what? Well, you think I'm your servant, I'm your cook here. And then one thing spiraled to the other, and there's a breakup. So who's the winner here? Mr. Shaitan. See that anger. So like we learn with professional, etc., you have to learn these type of things. Ghussa, control, composure, not to be obsessed with wealth, etc. All these things are concepts that have to be learned. Allah Baktofi.